Amen. I'm glad. Wow, this is a big pulpit. That is big. Is my son still here? Is Jim here? Where is Jim? I lost you. I need you to load that chair up before we leave. That is like the most comfortable chair I've ever sat in. I told the folks in the ensemble or brass to wake me up if I fall asleep in that chair. That's pretty comfortable. I am glad to be at Fairhaven Baptist Church. Wow! I'm not going to stay behind here. This pulpit is way too big for me. That's for sure. I have not grown into this pulpit at all. In any way, thank you, preacher, for the opportunity to preach. And I'm really glad to be here. I really am. I've heard of Fairhaven Baptist Church. I heard of you folks. And it is really scary up here. Do you know that? So I need you to help me. If you can say amen every once in a while or just let me know that you're out there, that would really help me a lot. And amen. Thank you. Very good. I need to look at y'all. I like to do this wherever I preach someplace new, and I like to get a mental picture. And it's good. I like to pray for folks, and when I have a mental picture, it helps me pray. Wait a second. I just thought of something. If you have a cell phone, turn it off. This is a good announcement here, but I have a cell phone, and I could turn it on and take a picture of y'all. I like this. I can't get it all in one picture. I have to get this for Mary Greenwood's family, too. I got you, Mary. All right. Wow, this is neat. I think we all just need to take a deep breath. Let it out again. The Bible says in Psalm 16:6, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. And I am so thankful that I was brought up in church. I'm so thankful that my parents sent me to a Christian school. I'm so thankful that I was saved at an early age and exposed to the Word of God at a young age. What a great opportunity for a young person not to have baggage in their life. I thank the Lord that after Christian day school that I was able to go to Bible college and just find my wife at church. And all those things that they tell you that you're supposed to do. I mean, it really works. You can do all those things and just keep serving the Lord the rest of your life and have a wonderful life. And you can enjoy serving Jesus. And I'm so glad that we're here tonight. And I don't know a lot of you. I know a few of you, but I don't know a lot of you. Is Sister Gonzalez here? She's way up there. Okay. Did you get your package? I'm like a mailman, too. I have to deliver things from your parents and stuff. And I know them. And Joseph's down there, and I know some other folks that I've met before with the touring groups, and it's good to see everybody. But we have some things in common. We do. And I know we have the Scriptures in common. Hold up your Bibles. You have your Bible here tonight. Hold up your Bibles. I like to say, everybody hold up their Bibles. I am so glad we're not one of those churches that puts the Bible up on the wall. I don't know if you're planning on that in the future or not, but don't plan on it. They say when you do that, the people stop bringing their Bibles. And so because it's up on the wall. Now, if it's in the deaf department, our sign language interpreters say, please put it on something on the wall because it's a lot easier to translate. But we have the Scriptures in common. I'm so glad we have our King James Bible. I'm glad we have our salvation. How many know Jesus Christ is a personal Savior? All right. If you do not know Jesus Christ, your Savior, and you're here tonight and you say, wow, everybody's raising their hand, I'm glad you came tonight. I want you to know that you can be saved before you leave this room tonight. We can have our standards from the Word of God. I'm glad that God has given us a black and white book. Our Bible's not filled with gray. It's black and white, okay? And if you want to, you can say, I'm going to give God the benefit of the doubt in my life. I'm not going to live on the edge. I'm not going to live so I'm in jeopardy every moment. I'm going to live like God wants me to do. We have the opportunity to go soul winning. And I'm glad you this is the last week of your fall, what they call the fall promotion, fall push. What do you call that here? Fall push. You know what? You can just keep pushing all winter long. Individually and collectively, you can just keep pushing and try to get as many folks to keep coming. But I'm so glad we have the opportunity to share in Jesus Christ with folks around us. I'm glad we have in common also the second coming of Jesus. What if it were today? I was getting excited back here. How many wouldn't mind if Jesus came back right now? Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to Jesus coming back. Things are looking pretty bad out there in the world. And I think he's coming soon. I'm not putting a date on it, but I think he's coming back soon. And do you know the reason that we're still here is because there's still some more folks that need saved? Mary, do you remember Mrs. McNair at church? We call her Grandma McNair at church. And Quantas, her grandson Quantas, said, "Grandma, it's getting pretty bad out here. Grandma, why doesn't Jesus come back and get us out of here? Why doesn't he come back?" And Mrs. McNair, she said, "Oh, Quantas, oh, Quantas." And this is how Mrs. McNair talks. "Oh, Quantas, he wants to come. He wants to come and get us out of here. He wants to rescue us out of here. But every time he gets up, his father says, 'No, sit back down. There's still some more folks that need saved.'" You say, I don't know if she's doctrinally sound or accurate, but I know she's theologically correct. Because there's still some folks. The fullness of the Gentiles has to come in. We have to see more folks get saved. And Jesus Christ is coming soon. I'm going to ask you to turn your Bible to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. I saw somebody in the armed service tonight. Appreciate your service. Said that in the restroom to you. Do we have anybody else that's served in the armed service of our country? Thank you very much for your service. Anybody serve in the Navy? All right, we have some Navy guys here. Good. I'm going to tell a Navy story, all right? How many knows what a dirigible is? How many knows what a dirigible is? How many do not know what a dirigible is? All right. If I said Goodyear blimp, would you understand what a dirigible is? All right, you understand that? Okay, the year is 1832, or 1932. We're going to go back too far there. 1932, and there's a dirigible called the USS Akron. Akron. I'm from Ohio, and Akron, Ohio has a big hangar there where they made these blimps. Herbert Hoover's wife, she launched the dirigible. That's what she did. She launched that dirigible and got it flying. And let me tell you how big it was. 785 feet long. Do you realize how long 785 feet is? That's 2.5 football fields long. The Goodyear blimp that we know now is only 192 feet long. So it looks pretty big. If you're in comparison, anybody heard of the Hindenburg before? Okay, some of you heard of that. A lot of you have. That was just, I think, 15 or 20 feet longer than this. This was the largest helium dirigible that America produced. The other one was produced in Germany. We produced this in America. And sailors... our sailor guys served on the crown crew for the dirigibles. And the story that I heard was that this dirigible was making a cross-country trip, and they flew all, clear over to San Diego. They said they had encountered some sandstorms and going across Texas. They had a rough trip. It took about 77 hours to get across the country in this dirigible that they were flying across. They got to San Diego, and they said it was really, really foggy that day, and they barely could make it through, but they finally made it through. And the folks, there's about several thousand folks that were at the Kearney Field, and they were watching this dirigible, and they were watching what was going to happen, because this is a huge, let me tell you what this thing did. It was a tool for the Armed Services of America. They had the ability to keep 5 biplanes launched in this dirigible. They could fly planes out of this thing. Matter of fact, they launched 2 of them. One of the guys that was launched when he's coming into San Diego came out, and he flew around the field, and he landed on the field, and he got a group of about 200 sailors were their new recruits, and they were the ones that they were going to say, okay, you guys are going to be the ones that are going to have to moor this thing down. When those ropes come off, you grab the ropes, we'll secure the dirigible, and we'll be able to go on with the rest of the day. Well, I'm told that it came into, and they were having trouble with the air currents that day, and it was coming in, and it was bouncing a little bit. And finally, they threw the ropes off. I think about 400 tethers were off of there. And they were supposed to secure those. The sailors that were gathered around, about 200 sailors, grabbed the ropes. And there was a main mooring point in the front of the dirigible. And there was a mooring point in the back. You say, "Pastor, I hope you're going somewhere with this." I am going somewhere with this. I need you to pay attention just a little bit longer with this story. And then we'll get into the Word of God. But I want you to know what happened that day. They tried to secure the back, but an air current came up and tipped the dirigible. The guys had already grabbed the front of it, and they were securing it. When they tipped up the back, They had ballast tanks in there filled with water to keep and they dumped. When the ballast dumped of the water, it made it lighter. And what happened is it served as a counterweight, and it flew up. They said that there was several, I think 30 or 40, maybe even 50 guys holding on to the front of this dirigible. And almost all of them let go immediately. Some of them had waited till it was about 5 or 10 feet off the ground, and they let go. I am told that there were three guys that held on to the ropes as the blimp continued to go up into the air. People were watching. The ladies were screaming. They couldn't believe that three people were going up in the air. It was about 150 feet in the air, and they saw one of the guys fell off, they called the ambulances, and they were trying to get some help for him. But I want you to know his name was let me see if I have the name here. I'm going to give it to you. His aviation carpenter's mate, third class Robert H. Edsel. And you say, why are you saying that name? Because I believe that we need to honor the folks that serve in our armed services. And you need to say thank you to those folks when you see them out there. But he fell about 150 feet to his death that day. There's two men still on the dirigible. The second one was apprentice seaman Nigel M. Henton. He was the best gymnast in his outfit. And they said they'd always watch him do acrobatic tricks. And it was about 200 feet in the air, and they saw Nigel couldn't hold on any longer, and he fell all the way. The ambulance got there, and they said that there's nothing that they could do. There's one man still on the dirigible, and his name was Bud Cowart. With the extra weight missing, they said that the blimp flew up to 2,000 feet in the air. And they were watching. The man was just a little speck, and they were watching him fly up in the air. And of course, they knew his fate was sealed. I'm gonna tell you the rest of that story in just a little bit. But if you're in Joshua chapter 2, I want you to know that the children of Israel were promised the promised land. It was a promised land. And they come into Joshua chapter 2, and it says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country.' And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, 'Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thy house, for they be come to search out all the country.' And the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, 'There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were.' And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went," okay, it says, "whether the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for you shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof." Stalks of flax, let me just get you some Bible backgrounds here. It's a way that they made linen. So she had that up there. She was going to make clothes out of that. That's what they did with stalks of flax. "And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And behold, and before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, 'I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death.' And the man answered her, 'Our life for yours. If ye utter not this our business, and it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee.' Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall. and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast set, made us swear, us to swear. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. She sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came unto the mountain and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned. The pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him all things that befell him. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you that we're here tonight. Lord, we're gathered together because you've brought us here. And Lord, I pray that every person in this room will get a special blessing out of your word tonight, Lord. We realize your word will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish what you sent it to accomplish. Lord, I pray that these folks allow it to accomplish what it needs to accomplish in their hearts. Lord, I have nothing for them except for you. Lord, I pray that every person's heart will be receptive. May I have everyone's attention as I preach your precious word, Lord. And may your name and may your word be uplifted and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. God's people said, amen. Rahab was, the Bible says, a harlot. I know some have said that the Hebrew term from harlot meant innkeeper. But the New Testament twice calls her a harlot. That's a bad lady, okay? It's a bad lady. I'm so glad that God forgives us of sin. Somebody say amen. I'm so glad that everyone in this room, you don't have to be perfect in order to be saved. Matter of fact, you have to be a sinner in order to be saved. How many can say that you're a sinner? But saved by the grace of God. I thank the Lord for that. I'm going to tell you something sad. They said it's very typical in a Canaanite town like this, for someone to be introduced into this profession as young as 10 years of age. How sad. How sad for Rahab. How sad for what she was doing. And I want you to know that that's some of our mission field out there. There's folks that you say, well, you know, preacher, there's people out there that I just kind of stay away from. Why? Jesus wasn't afraid to go to those folks. Jesus was a friend of publicans and sinners. And nobody else in society wants to have them as a friend. But I want you to know you can reach out to them and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those folks. How about you? That's me and you. We need to share the gospel with these people. Sometimes these young ladies, because of this wicked culture, were forced into the lifestyle because of financial reasons. Sometimes because of religious reasons. How many know that back in the old days? Sometimes for other pagan reasons. I don't know how old Rahab was when the spies were sent to her, but I do know she had a life of being used and abused. That was her life. Do you know the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:13 that there are people today in the last days, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. The Bible says deceiving and being deceived. With some degree, I'm not saying we should give them all of our pity, but with some degree, we need to feel some sorrow for those folks who are involved in the things of the world, and they think that they're happy. Because that, I want you to know, they're not going to have true happiness unless they find Jesus Christ. And Jesus finds them. Rahab was already living in bondage, living in Canaan. I wonder how many times Rahab hung that cord out her window for advertising purposes. When the spies came and searched out the land, they lodged at her house, and Rahab realized the impending danger that was coming, and she knew that there was no security in soldiers. She knew that there was no security. I was very privileged. My church raised the money to send me to Israel. I was so excited. I went to Israel. they also raised money to bring me home. And I was really glad about that. But they raised money to send me to Israel, and I got to see Jericho. And wow. They call those the places over there that are built upon each other, they call them tells. I don't know why they call them tells, but they're built on top of each other. And I was looking at Jericho. And if I'm standing down here, I'm looking at Jericho, and just the embankments on the side are so high. And I'm picturing walls on top of those embankments. And some have said that the walls of Jericho could have been 26 feet high. And they said, with the embankments all around, it could have been 40 feet high with the walls all around. Can you imagine walls that big? And if we read the context of Scripture, it says that Rahab's house was on the wall. So if you raise the height to the height of the window, I don't know how high that window was, but they had to have something that was going to get them down from that extreme height down to the ground. It wasn't just like climbing out a bedroom window and falling on the ground. They had to have a cord. The Bible says uses three terms. In this portion of Scripture, we see a thread, a cord, and a line. Some of you Bible college students, I need you to stay up all night and study those three terms out, all right? And you'll figure out some major significance there. But I want you to know that it possibly could have been 70 feet long, that cord. It had to be accessible. They had to be able to reach that cord. They had to be able to go down the cord and hold the cord as they're going down to the ground. I brought with me tonight, for purposes of illustration, a cord. Let me see if we can do this. All right. Brother Sam, help me out here, okay? Brother Hall, you can hold this right here, okay? One of the Brother Halls. I guess there's several halls around here. Roaming all the halls around here. Brother Sam, if you'll take it back to Jimmy. Don't drop it. Okay. Okay, what do you think? Can we climb down the wall on this thing?
No.
We're not going to be able to climb down the wall on this? Why not?
It's too thin.
It's too weak. Well, we need to lose a little bit of weight then, brother. All right, Sam, we can't use this. Never mind. Wind it up. All right. How many are praying for Sam and Hannah to get over to China? Okay, we need to pray for them to get there as quick as possible. There's people over there that need Jesus. Amen. Okay, I brought something else. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Brian, help me out. Joe, help me out. Joseph, help me out. Come on, I need some help. Oh, wow. This is the way it's supposed to be, right here. All right, let's get this stretched out. Go ahead, take that back there. Untangle it. All right, Brother Sam, help me out. Untangle that. Get that all stretched out there. I don't want to look like I'm messing up. I don't want you guys to look that way. Brother Hall, would that work? That would work. Okay, it's official now. Brother Hall says that will work. As long as Brother Hall says it'll work, it'll work. We good? Bring it up here, Brother Joseph. Bring it up here. It wasn't enough just to have the cord. Was it enough just to have the cord? What if it wasn't tied up atop? Would that have been a problem? We need to tie this thing. Brother Joseph, here, help me out. I don't want you to pull over the pulpit, but I need you to tie it on there. Okay, tie it somewhat. Act like you're tying it, even if you don't tie it. Here's another thing. It had to be tied onto something. If it was just a string, they would have fell and got hurt on the authority of Brother Hall. If they weren't holding on to it, what if they just thought, okay, I can just adhere to it. It wouldn't have worked. They'd have fell and broke their neck. If they were falling like 70 feet or whatever it was, they'd just fell down all the way. It wouldn't have worked. It had to be accessible. It had to be anchored or strong. It had to be tight enough that it could do the job. It had to be long enough. What if it was this strong, but it was only like 5 feet long? Okay, guys, jump the rest of the way. Ah, that would not have been good. But it did the job. The spies were able to climb out there, and they told her this. Now, listen, what I want you to do is when we come back in the land, and you can read it in your Bible, When we come back to the land, I want you to bind it in the window. I want you to bind it in the window. And when you bind in the window, then we'll know that that's your house, and your father, all those folks that are in your house, if they come out in the street, the blood's on their own heads. But if they're in their house, they're going to be safe. Does it say that in the scriptures? Did we just read that? So I said, make sure that you keep it where it's supposed to be, and keep this, bind it when we come back in the land. Look what Rahab did. I love this. In the context of the scripture, it says that she didn't wait. She didn't wait for them to come back in the land. What she did is found. She bound in the window right away. Somebody find that for me. I closed my Bible. Where does it say that verse? What verse is it? 21. What's it say? What's it say?
She sent them away and bound the
scarlet. Soon as she sent them away, she bound it in the window. I love that. They said, wait till you come back in the land. No, I'm going to do it right now. I want to make sure I'm safe. Something vibrating over here whenever I get over here. That's kind of bugging me. I'm going to go back over here. Can I tell you, folks, I believe that there's a line today. And I believe that there's a line that has been drawn out. Joseph, you can go back there and Brother Sam, I'll call you if I need you. I really will. Preacher, I know you probably taught about it. There's a scarlet cord of redemption going through the Bible. They say if you cut the Bible anywhere, it'll bleed. Because it's talking about God's redemptive plan all throughout the Bible. And I love that. I love that the Word of God, it's all about Jesus. They say history is really His story. And it's all about Jesus Christ. And there's a redemptive line throughout the Bible. Somebody's sang it. Maybe Sister Gonzalez, you even sang it. There's a line that's been drawn through the ages. And on that line stands an old rugged cross. And we realize that Jesus Christ, through eternity, decided to come to this earth and die for us on that cross so we could have salvation. And I'm so glad that we have a line. We have if you're from a saved family, if you're from a godly heritage, and you need to thank God for that goodly heritage, that's your line that you can thank God for. And right now at Fairhaven Baptist Church, let me tell you something. There is a line. There is a cord. And let me tell you, this cord could be in jeopardy tonight. This line could be in jeopardy tonight. It goes way back there. But that cord could be in jeopardy tonight. You know why it could be in jeopardy? If you don't do exactly what the spies did. The spies had to hold on to that line to get down to the bottom. Do you realize if they would have dropped to their death, their mission would not have been accomplished? How many realize that? Joshua would still be waiting, okay? The spies aren't back yet. We have to send two more out. They would have to do what they're supposed to do instead of these guys coming back, which they were able to accomplish their mission. We need some folks tonight to realize that there's that line that's been drawn through the ages, that line that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to us, and we need to make sure we hold that line. I want you to know that this church, 1970, am I right? 1970? This church is a heritage. Last week, 45th anniversary, 45 years proclaiming the gospel in this area. Somebody say amen. That's your line. That's your heritage. Thank God for that. The school, a couple years later, the school started, the academy. The academy, and then about 5 years later, I understand from what I've read is that the college started. That is a line. That's a heritage that you have. How many of you have been here 10 or more years? Let me see your hand. Look around. Look around at all the folks. How many have been here 20 or more years? Keep your hands up. 20 or, wow. How many have been here 30 or more years? Keep your hands up. Oh, bless your hearts. Is there anybody that's been here the whole time? Wow. I picked on the right people down there. That's good. All right, the halls. You just hang your coats on them when you come in? They've been here so long. Brother and Mrs. Hall, I need you to hold the line. I do. There's a lot of folks in this room that haven't been here as long as you have, and they're watching you. And I need you to hold that line. I need you to hold the rope. You've seen a lot of people come and go through those years, haven't you? You probably saw more go than come. That's true. Some you've seen go through the wall of death, and they go over to see Jesus. And some of them you've seen that have passed away that you're not sure if they're saved, that have been sitting in these pews. And I don't mean to just be preaching at you folks tonight, but I want you to know you all have a responsibility. I saw your hand up too. They need to continue to see you hold that line. They really do. And the other folks, maybe if I left somebody out that was raising their hand. But let me tell you what happened to our sailor that we talked about at the beginning, Bud Cowart. Bud Cowart said he saw his two friends drop to their death, 150 feet and 200 feet. And he said it scared him. And he said, I am not going to die that way. And they said that he wrapped his arms around that rope that he was hanging on to. He tried the best he could to wrap the rope around his legs and try to tie knots the best way that he could. Let me tell you something, folks. For 2 hours or more, he hung on to that rope. 2,000 feet or higher, he hung on to that rope. And he was flying over, and they said, we're going to try to land it. And they tried to come down and go back up. He was on a roller coaster ride that day. He was going up and down and up and down and up and down. Can I tell you, after 2 hours or more of being on that rope, they finally were able to rescue him. It could have ended in tragedy for all three that day, but he held the rope and he held the line. I need you folks, I need you to grab that rope. I need you to grab that rope. This church has seen many souls be saved throughout all these years. How many of you personally have seen somebody come to know Jesus as their Savior? How many through the fall push have seen somebody come to know Jesus as their Savior? You keep sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. The lives that have been touched by this ministry, the churches and ministries and missionaries and all the things that have been started by this ministry. There's a rope that's going not only through this auditorium, it's going outside this building. It's going all around the world. We need to make sure we hold on to that rope. The stands that have been taken by this ministry, the investments have been made. I believe, let me tell you something, I believe that the greatest days of Fairhaven Baptist Church could be yet in front of it. I need somebody to say amen. I'm going to say it again. Brother, I need some people to say this. We got to believe this, all right? The greatest days of Fairhaven Baptist Church could be yet in front of us. I see a lot of empty seats up there in the balcony. Wouldn't that be great to see them full on Sunday night? Somebody say amen. I know what you're thinking. Oh, great. Pastor's going to do the buses on Sunday night too now, and we're all going to be wore out completely. I know there's some buses already go, but I'm talking about souls that could be sitting in those pews for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. I need some of you young people to hold that line, not just make it moms and dads and pastors, what they believe, but I need you make it yours and you hold that line as well. You need to hold that rope. You say, Pastor, how long do I need to hold the rope? Bud McCourt, we talked about Bud Cowart, and he held the line as long as he needed to until he could get his rescue. One of these days we're going to get rescued. Somebody say amen. I'm going to have to keep saying that, you know, because I need somebody behind me. Where are those guys? They hold up amen signs, all right? The guys that are videotaping, amen, all right? We're going to get rescued out of here pretty soon. But some people aren't. How many know what I'm talking about? You've got to share the gospel with them. You've got to pick up the rope. You've got to hold that rope and share the gospel with those folks. Toss them. Quickly end. I know we're running out of time. On a trip to Israel, there's Bedouin tents still in Israel. There's people that could live in houses, but they still choose to live out in Bedouin. And they said the Bedouin custom is, if you grab part of their house or the rope of their house, if they're living in a tent, you have to take care of that person for 3 days. After 3 days, you can let them go out and chop their head off if you want to, but you have to take care of that person for 3 days if they've touched your house, if they've touched the rope of your house. Can I tell you that's the same insight that we see in the Word of God where it says that we're supposed to lengthen the cords and strengthen the stakes. This preacher needs to be uplifted. Not like Jesus is uplifted. He just needs to be strengthened. You need to go over and say, Preacher, I'm praying for you. And I know you probably do this already, but he needs to know that you're praying for him. He needs to be strengthened in the work of this ministry. You folks need to make sure that you're firmly grounded in the truth of the Word of God. And you say, you know what? There's some people out there that might try to confuse us, but you know what? We're going to stay firm on the Word of God. And we're going to go into a time of invitation. And it might be a little bit different. We're going to have music play in just a minute. Who plays the instruments? You can come up here now and come to the piano and the whatever that other instrument is over there, organ. Preacher, how long do you want to serve Jesus? Till you die? Or he calls us all to glory with the rapture, right? How many believe your preacher? Raise your hand. Okay. I believe this man wants to serve Jesus till he dies. Preacher, can I get you to come over and grab the rope? Thank you, brother. I don't know if you ever do this kind of stuff around here, but I want him to grab the rope. The reason I went to Israel, and one thing I did not see in Israel, I looked all over for it, brother, because they talked about it. Solomon planted them as plenteous, and the veil was cedar trees. And I looked for cedar trees, and I couldn't find them. I couldn't find any cedars in Israel. I know there's some in Lebanon, they said, but I couldn't find any in Israel. And they said, Solomon. And what's sad is the cedar trees, a lot of them had been cut down. And when those cedars were cut down, the Bible talks about that too, the fir trees how? Because they take out some fir trees. If he falls, some other folks fall. He's on the line. He's been on the line for you folks for a long time. And he wants to stay on that line. There's missionaries. Brother Sam, Sister Hannah, you can bring Sammy and John if you want to. You can stand on both sides of the line and grab the line in front of your preacher there. Those lines are going to go to China. Do you realize that? The lines of this church are going to go to China. Rahab showed us with this story. I believe that there's a primary interpretation for every portion of Scripture, but there's also many applications that we can make to our lives. I believe Rahab had a huge part. You can read genealogies in the book of Matthew and find out other things about Rahab. How many know what I'm talking about? I believe that we have an opportunity. How many folks have bus routes in this place? Let me see your hand. Bus routes. I need some of you bus route people to pick up the line. Come on. Who wants to step out and grab the line? Grab the line. You have a bus route? Grab the line. Lord Jesus, I pray as we go to this time of invitation, Lord, there's folks that are already stepping out, grabbing the line, Lord. Lord, the reason this church is going to stay here and it's going to continue to do what it's done for 45 years, Lord, is because there's people that are holding the line. There's people that are holding on to the rope. There's people that are going to be just like the spies who didn't let go. They are able to accomplish the mission that you gave them. Lord, I pray that during this invitation time, if there's one person here tonight that's not sure that they're on their way to heaven, that person will come and say, I need to know for sure I'm saved. I need to make sure I'm on my way to heaven. And there's somebody else that wants to come and say, you know what? I need to get more involved. I need to do the things that God has challenged my heart to do. God's called me to preach, or God's called me to a mission field, and I need to do what God's called me to do. I need to surrender to be a preacher's wife, or I need to surrender to something that God's calling me to do. Lord, I pray that those folks will come and grab the rope and grab the line. Lord Jesus, I pray that you're not ashamed of this church when you come back. Lord, I pray that you're not ashamed of us that you're coming. And I pray that your name will be uplifted and glorified during this invitation time. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I don't want anybody looking around.